As a minister of the Word of God, as a pastor, I find myself very often encouraging you, the church, and challenging my own self to be in the Word of God. When I say in the Word of God, that's a term that I assume you mean, you understand, but let me explain in case you don't. To be in the Word of God is to be encompassed by its truth, exposing my heart, my eyes, my mind to its everlasting truth. And that is in our day and age, that takes place by God's grace through the reading of God's Word, the Bible. God, by His grace, has given me the opportunity to go to school and to learn the English language that I might be able to read. And God has, by His grace, given us His Word in the English language, this translation that we're able to understand. And therefore, I am able to be in the Word of God. And it encompasses my mind and my heart. I'm able to expose my life, myself, to this. As you think about the Word of God, and you think about it throughout the Scriptures, how important it was to God's people. Now, Genesis through Deuteronomy was written by, we believe, Moses, and that it's credited to Moses, and he wrote that. And Moses very likely wrote this in his last days of his life. But what is interesting is that these are not the first scriptures that were written down. Remember what happened to Moses on Mount Sinai. God did some writing, didn't he? God did some writing, and he wrote on two tablets of stone. And these two tablets of stone, we call them what? The Ten Commandments today, right? And God wrote those out, and they were a very important part of God's, they were a communication of God's law to His people. Now, Moses later, from all of his time up on the mountain with God, was able to put together and write Genesis through Deuteronomy, through the experiences that he had with the people in the wilderness. And this became known as the books of the law, the Torah. And the books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, were very important to God's chosen people, the Jews. Now, this is emphasized by what God says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. So I encourage you to go to Joshua chapter 1 this morning. We're going to go to several places in the Scriptures, but Joshua chapter 1, I want us to recognize something here. And as we go through this today, the emphasis, I believe, is that God desires us to be regularly exposing ourselves to His Word. In Joshua chapter 1, now of course, Moses has recently died, and Joshua now is the leader of the people of Israel. Joshua has been given the responsibility to take the people across the Jordan River into the Promised Land to conquer the enemies in the land, the people groups that are there, and to claim the Promised Land for God's chosen people, the Jews, the Israelites. Well, notice what is emphasized here. In Joshua chapter 1. Notice here in verse 5 and following. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. This is God speaking to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You notice the emphasis here upon God's law, God's commandments, and how important it was to be to Joshua, to this leader of the Israelites. And God is emphasizing this to Joshua because, not just because, oh, I want you to have this as a special ornament and a special thing you do every day. No, this is important and needful. Now, with that in mind, and the emphasis upon the importance of being in God's Word, I want us to see what Moses writes in Deuteronomy chapter 17. So just flip forward in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 17. And we're going to see how God, throughout His Word, emphasizes the importance of the reading of God's Word. The importance of God's Word being in and a part of a person's life. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, again, Deuteronomy is Moses' writing, kind of summarizing the law for the new generation. Why do I say new generation? Well, the original generation that came out of Egypt, they rebelled against God, and God said, you will not go into the promised land, you will all die in the wilderness. So you got 40 years of wilderness wandering. In that meantime, all of those that were 20 and over died. And so now they're standing ready on the shores of the Jordan River to go into the promised land, and there's a new generation. And Deuteronomy summarizes the law for this new generation. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 17. And let's take note here to verse 14. Deuteronomy 17. Verse 14, when you are come into the land which the Lord thy God gives you, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over you, whom the Lord your God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set a king over you. Thou mayest not set a stranger over you, which is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, and to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now, I read that lengthy passage because I wanted you to see what is being said and to whom it's being spoken. This is to the new generation that's going to go into the promised land, and God admits or says here that there will come a time when you will call for a king to be over you. And so we know that they did, and God chose King Saul. But what God has here is specific instructions for this king of Israel. And what is the centerpiece of it? What is the important part? What is the moral, the compass that guides him? It's the scriptures. It's the law. It's the this book that is to be written down. It's interesting that he shall write him a copy of this law. And so in God's eyes, from God's perspective, it was imperative that the leaders of Israel know his word. Know the law. To the point that they had to make a copy of it themselves. To the point that they needed to be reading it all the days of their lives. Now I want you to notice here, What was the expected result? I mean, just read this so that you can check it off that you've done this? Any of you ever been there? So many of the Bible programs that are out there, they have the checklist, right? They have a little box, you check this. I have one. I'm doing a reading through the Bible chronologically. Have you ever done that? It's really interesting. They've taken different passages and put them in chronological order as far as when they took place. Because the Bible's not necessarily written chronologically. And I'm enjoying that. They have these little boxes and you check it off when you've done your Bible reading. And if you're like me, it feels good to see all those check marks, doesn't it? I'm just being honest with you. I'm a human being just like you. You know, I'm doing a good thing and I'm doing it right and I'm checking them off. Well, is that why? Is that the result? So you just get that good feeling and you can fill in the checkbox? No, it's not. Notice what this passage says. In verse 19, it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Look here. That he may what? Learn to fear the Lord his God. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. What does the Word of God have to do with the fear of God? With fearing the Lord? Now, let me just acknowledge something. Fear in our day and age is most often associated with terror, with knees shaking, with wanting to run and hide, right? Is this the kind of fear that's being talked about? That you might learn to run and hide and cower? Not necessarily. Maybe not in the way we would immediately think of it in our day and age. Because, you see, in this day and age, there was a very different way, different culture. And when you would come before someone of great honor, when you would come before and people would have access to people of great honor and access to the king, there was a lot of respect. And there were different actions that you would do in the presence of somebody of great authority, of great power. I mean, you read about in history how people would bow before kings. If you know the story of Esther, There's a great authority, the most powerful man in all the world. And so it was a fearful thing to come into his presence. Why? It's because of the one who is before you. His greatness, his power, his authority. So what does reading the Word of God, what does this law and the king needing to read it, to learn, to fear the Lord, what does that have to do? What's the connection? It is God's law that communicates to us, his people, who he is. It is his word that communicates to us his greatness, his power, his authority. And so therefore, as we are exposing ourselves to the Word of God, we are exposing ourselves to God and his greatness. His declaration of this is who I am. If you just take the books of the law and you go and you read through that, you're going to walk away with something you're going to walk away with an amazement at the power of God. You're going to walk away with the amazement at the mercy of God. And you could go on and making a list of different things that you would walk away with after having just read Genesis through Deuteronomy. Why? It's because God has chosen to reveal Himself through His Word, and He's revealing His power, His authority, His mercy, His character, who He is. And so the kings were instructed, the leaders of Israel were instructed, read the Word of God that you might learn to fear the Lord His God. To have a respect and an awe. If this is who God is, then that means this is who I am. And that is what is so fascinating about getting to know God. As you get to know God, what seems to happen is God is just becomes more and more and more, greater, greater, greater. And as God becomes greater, we become smaller. This is what John the Baptist talked about. He must increase, but I must decrease, speaking of Jesus. So the kings were to read the Word of God, to learn to fear the Lord his God. Isn't it interesting, that word learn? Learn. That word learn is an important distinction here, because this fear comes as a result of exposing yourself to who God is, and you learn to fear the Lord. Now there will come a day, there will come a time when people who do not know God, who have not exposed themselves to who God is, they won't have an opportunity to learn, or maybe I should put it this way, they'll learn to fear God real fast, because it's judgment day and they're standing before Him. In this New Testament, it tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's every knee. That's you and me. But it's every knee that has ever lived and walked on this earth, every person, will declare His greatness. He is Lord. So the instructions to any future king of Israel was, read to learn that you might fear the Lord your God. Notice what else it says here in verse 19. He shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes. To keep them. To do them. Notice here this emphasis on you learn to fear the Lord, and then there's this action that comes to keep the law of the Lord and to do them. One of the reasons that we emphasize being in the Word of God, spending time in it, exposing yourself to it, is because that is where you are going to feel the punch and the power of God and His Spirit in your life. And you're going to say, this needs to be me. This is what I ought to be doing. This is the way I ought to be living. Jesus emphasized this in His ministry, because he kind of divided up the people from hearers, those who hear and do nothing, and those that hear and do it. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, He gave the illustration of a man who hears my word and does it is like a man who builds his house upon a what? On a rock. And we know the story. We know the song, right? The winds blow, the rains come, and the house stands firm, because he hears and he does. But those that hear and do not do, they're called foolish, because they build their house upon the sand. And the rains come and the winds blow and their house falls. It's foolishness. I mean, that really is a definition of a fool. You know what is right. You hear it, but you don't do it. How many are sitting in a church today? Maybe you're here, maybe across this world, are sitting in churches and they're hearing God's word, hearing the instruction, but they've already chose not to do it. They've already made that choice. It's foolishness. Listen, dear ones, the kings were emphasized, they were encouraged, it was emphasized to them that they ought to read all the days of their lives, that they may learn to fear the Lord as God and learn to keep all the words of His law and these statutes to do them. So what's the result of that? What's the result of learning to fear the Lord and learning to keep His commandments? Look at verse 20. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. And that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Notice what happens. What happens? What's God saying is going to happen to this king who learns to fear the Lord, learns to keep and to do God's commands? He's going to have a humble heart. He will be humbled. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. Now we can understand that, especially in the context of this king and subject mentality. Because we so often look at kings and we think of them as high and mighty. We think of them as greater than ourselves, greater than who we are. And that just kind of goes with the territory in our minds, doesn't it? You have a king, they're better than the rest of us. That's not God's way. It's not God's intent. Sure, God is going to choose a king. And God chooses that king. But the king's purpose is to lead God's people. To not lord over them as great and high and mighty and greater than them, but to lead them with a humble heart. You know what, folks? You expose yourself to the Word of God, it will humble you. It will reveal to you what you are doing wrong, what you are doing right. It will show you how to stay right. It will teach you. Isn't there a scripture that Paul wrote to Timothy toward the end of his life that kind of spells some of those things out? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly equipped into every good work. The Word of God will have an effect, and God says so here through His servant Moses, pertaining to the king, the future kings. The expected result will be humility of heart. And you see that. When you go through Kings and Chronicles, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and you begin to see that era of kings in Israel. And you will see the good kings and the bad kings. And what is it that's what marks these good kings is their dedication to God and to His Word. So not only is humility of heart an expected result, but also obedience. They learn to keep and to do His commands, and so therefore there's obedience that comes. There's obedience. And then there's blessing. There's blessing. Notice at the end of verse 20, to the end that He may prolong His days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. There is blessing for that king, his kingdom present and in the future. There's blessing. This week, as I was speaking up at Christian Lake Bible Conference, we spent some time looking at this idea and concept of blessing. And in Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart." Blessed. Dear ones, listen, as you consider what you have in your hand, this is what God desires for you to know and to learn. It's God's Word, inspired in the original languages, and it's been translated for us, and we have it in our English text here. And as God is revealing His Word to us, as He's teaching us, whether it be through our own personal reading or whether it be through preachers, and that's a fascinating study in and of itself, how God has chosen not only to give His Word written down, but to use preachers to communicate it. There's great blessing in knowing this book, being in this book, exposing yourself to God's truth. There's great blessing. And I'm not saying that you'll be healthy and wealthy and wise for the rest of your life. You know what? You'll not be healthy and wealthy, but you will be wise. You will experience great blessing. Because this is God's truth. And God will reveal Himself in all of His greatness, with all of His power and authority. And the response is going to be in your heart, "Wow, He is awesome. He is my God." You see, we in the church today, God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came and lived on this earth, perfect and sinless life. And Jesus Christ, and I believe this is not by mistake, was called the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so as you take that thought and you consider how important God's Word is and God's law and the fact that God has communicated to us and He's preserved it for us today, don't miss that association of Jesus Christ and how important it is that you know Him. How do you get to know Jesus? Through His Word. God reveals Himself to us through His Word. Listen, as you read the Word of God this week, may I encourage you to be not just a student of the Word, but be a worshiper of the God of this Word. There is a difference. Many in our day study the Bible, and they know it academically. May you and I be students of His Word. But as you study His Word, don't miss Him. God's Word is not there just to build your knowledge for your own benefit. It's there to build your awe of who He is. To build your understanding of His greatness. As you read the Word of God, approach it with worship. Look for God. Look for Him. Ask these questions. Where do I see God here? What is God doing here? Why does God have me reading this passage today? What new character quality can I see about God? What does that reveal about me? And you could come up with endless questions. But the point is, God, it's His Word, and He has given it to us to reveal Himself. And His plan of redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, I thank You for the powerful Word of God, and I thank You that it is living. I thank You, God, for the instructions that You've given to us to meditate upon Your law, to meditate, to expose ourselves, to be encompassed about by Your truth. God, thank You for having it written down. Thank You for all these writers. Thank You for the apostles. Thank You for Jesus. And I want to thank You for calling Him the Word. Lord, I know You didn't do that just by an accident or just by happenstance, God. There was a purpose. Oh God, would You draw us as Your people to seek to know You and to know Your Word, but to know You. God, You know each life that is here, that's represented, each experience and circumstance. You know what has happened this week. You know what will happen this next week. And I want to pray, God, that You would equip Your people, equip them for what is to come, equip them to handle what has happened. May we be a great force for Your kingdom this week, a strength, a light. In Jesus' precious name, amen.